Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven.
And Kyle.
And we hope that you're having a wonderful November, Monday morning, because that's when this thing is going to fucking drop. Kyle's got an awesome abduction story.
Fuck yeah.
It's pretty creepy. It inspired the fucking most terrifying movie I've ever seen in my life. So
it is a pretty scary movie.
That being said, we're going to get to that after we get through all of the business. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast and we will be there. Come over, hang out with us, share memes, share any creepy articles you find online, and share your own creepy experiences with us. If you want to share a story that we could feature on a future episode, Kyle's going to tell you how to do that.
You can record it on anything and then email it over to the hollowskypodcast at gmail.com. And probably the easiest way to do it is to use the voice memo app on your smartphone, record yourself, and then just shoot it over the email. You can also just type it out and send it to us. You can hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want to do, however you want to get it to us.
We're usually pretty good about finding it.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes not, but just bear with us. Speaking of podcasts, if you listen on any of your pod chasers or podcatchers, I don't know why I said pod chaser, but podcasters, please hop on over there and leave us a rating and review, preferably 5 stars, but whatever your heart desires. If you listen and leave a review on iTunes or Apple, that's usually the one we check the most, so that's primarily the one I pull our ratings from. But if you leave us a 5-star rating and review, we will shout you out. Today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from Cass Cash, from Great Britain, another one, from across the pond.
Hell yeah.
What a lame-ass saying, across the pond. Anyway, Cass Cash says, amazing 5 stars. So many podcasts on these topics, but I quickly lose interest. Not with this one, however. It's informative and well-researched, loving, working my way through the episodes. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to just shout us out. It's the best way you can help support our podcast is leaving those reviews. It kind of pushes us up through all the other paranormal podcasts. So when people search dope shit, there we are.
That's all we can ask for, really.
Hell yeah. And if you want to help sponsor us in other ways, we do have a Patreon set up. You can check that out. Search Hollow Sky Podcast on Patreon, and you can subscribe to one of the many tiers we have over there and get some extra dope shit, extra content, some stickers, and just that whole cool thing we got set up. We also have a Venmo if you want to buy us a monster. Hop over there, throw a little change in there, and we will shout you out as a monster provider.
Hell yeah.
We're still rolling off Allison's donation, so cheers to you. I wasn't going to crack this open this episode, but
he's going to do it already.
I'll probably drink too. So, see you, Allison. Thanks so much. All right. We have our listener experience of the day set up and ready to rock and roll. This comes from our friend Josh. Take it away, Josh.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Josh from the Crypto Chasers podcast. Sorry I've been super AWOL for, like, the past year, just dealing with some health stuff and stuff like that. But looking to get back into podcasting, but I was listening to your show, and I totally remembered something that I forgot to tell you guys about when I lived in a haunted house. This was back 2015, I think. I don't know how it slipped my mind, but it was not too long after I had graduated high school, and we had moved into a new house, me and my sister and my parents, and it was really calm for a little while. Nothing really happened. It was just kind of, it was boring, quiet, like nothing to do, but it was fine. And the first thing that we noticed was that our dog at the time would constantly stare at the ceiling and, like, stare at corners in the house, which should have been a red flag to begin with, but the dog was kind of weird. Like, she was just had a very big personality. It was just kind of just a funny dog, so we just kind of thought she was just, you know, being herself. We didn't think anything of it. But there was one time I remember I was laying on the couch, and she was laying on me, and then looking behind me up above my head towards the corner and started growling at the corner. So that was the first thing that kind of freaked me out. But again, I thought maybe she had just heard a noise or something, because it was an older house too. I think it was early 1900s was when it was built. So I thought maybe she had just heard a noise or something and was just barking at it or growling at it. But and I for the longest time I thought it was just me noticing things in the house. But the two big things that I noticed personally is I was laying in bed and my bed was kind of off to the side of the kitchen. And there was one night that I vaguely remember hearing to me what sounded like almost like the clicking of like a walker walking across the kitchen, like an older person would use, like an elderly person would use to help them walk. I remember hearing that sound going across the kitchen in the middle of the night, and just kind of ignored it and just went back to sleep. And the second thing that happened was when I was laying in the bed, that room also had a bathroom attached to it. And I was laying there one night, and all of a sudden the bathroom door just kind of opened by itself. And again, it's an older house, so I guess in my mind I just kind of put it off as like, oh, that's weird, and just kind of went back to sleep. Didn't think anything of it. But a couple weeks later, I told my parents what had happened. I told them that it was weird, and that I just kind of been having a weird feeling. And my mom told me that she had actually been having experiences too of seeing a shadow in their room. She said she woke up one night and felt almost like warmth on her leg, like kind of pressure on her leg, and she woke up and turned around and saw a shadow of what she thinks was like a young boy. It was very small, like a child, run out of the room. She said she had seen shadows before, but we were also right on the road, and their bedroom window was facing the road, so they just kind of assumed it was maybe just light playing tricks from cars driving by. But then that happened, and then she kind of knew that, okay, it's not just a shadow, like there's something here. And those are the three big things I remember about living in that house. Obviously, I don't live there anymore, and I haven't really had any paranormal type experiences since then. Little stuff, but nothing. That was like the biggest thing that I've ever experienced. And come to find out, if I remember correctly, talking to people about the history of the house, the man that owned it, two or three owners before us, was an elderly war veteran that apparently was kind of a jerk. Just, you know, typical crotchety old man, and was just really mean. But he died in the house, apparently, and he also used a walker. So maybe what I heard was his ghost. I don't know. I don't have an explanation for it other than it was just weird. But thanks for the time. Again, love you guys' podcast. And just really excited for y'all, and great things are happening for you. And it's really cool to see. Have a good one.
First off, thanks for taking the time to submit your story, Josh. We hope that your health issues are clearing up and everything is going good and gets them back on track with your podcast.
Word.
Cryptid Chasers, everybody check it out. Support them. Listen to that weird shit. Secondly, I definitely think people should put more credence into their pets kind of being on a different level than us.
Don't say that.
Being able to kind of pick up shit that we don't pick up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's explaining this in his story here, and I know my dog has acted exactly the same.
Just you. And you always, like my
just
cat.
Just stare off in the corner, and you're like, boy, you stupid.
You better not be looking at a fucking ghost.
And then he's done it too, where he's looked into the corner and started growling. And, if, you know, like Steve said, a lot of people just write it off because it's probably because they don't even want to admit
yeah
what it could mean. And then the other aspect to your story is hearing the walker.
That was creepy.
Yeah, I was like, fuck that. I'm not dealing with that, dude. Just
the way he described it, I'm like, I could almost picture it.
Yeah, I was picturing the old lady at first. And then you just see some fucked up old lady come through your door, and you're like, what the fuck?
Just creeping around. You kind of did your homework before I asked for the homework. It's looking into the history of the house and the fact that you kind of corroborated the aspect of the haunting, quote unquote, with the person who lived there in the past using a walker. That was pretty dope.
So yeah, for sure.
Kind of solidified your own story.
Right.
I do. Me and Kyle were talking as we were listening to it, and it's funny how everybody who experiences these things try to write them off as natural, like not paranormal.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, there's this shadow, but it could have been a car driving by, or my dog is staring off into the corner barking, trying to fight this thing, but it could just be that he's having a bad day. I just think people need to kind of put... What's the word I'm looking for? Just like put more energy in the fact that there is weird shit out there. You know what I mean? Not try to write everything off right off the rip.
Absolutely.
But again, thanks so much for submitting your story, Josh. Living in what I think has been a haunted house before, it like shit happens that shouldn't happen. You know, it just kind of...
Sure.
You know it's off. So, anyway, again, thanks for submitting your story. And everybody check out Cryptid Chasers podcast.
Hell yeah.
So, from there, Kyle is going to take us out west for some good old alien abductions.
Yeah. Great. I guess I've been on, like, low-key on an alien thing here lately.
Great.
Because I've got several different researches here that all involve aliens, but a lot of you should, well, yeah, a lot of you should know this story, or at least seen the movie, and it's the abduction of Travis Walton. On November 5th, 1975, there was a group of men, and they were working in the Apache Sitgreaves National Forest near Snowflake, Arizona. These men were tasked with a rather important job that we've currently kind of pushed aside, but they were supposed to go in there and cut down dead trees and help maintain the forest to help prevent forest fires.
So they're tree trimmers.
In a way, yeah.
That sounds similar.
I know, right? But to the story, the men, you know, they put in a hard day's work. They stated they were a little behind, so they got after it, and they ended up working a little bit closer to dusk. Well, they loaded up their truck with all the gear, and it wasn't long on their way down from the mountaintop that they noticed a slight glow coming through the trees.
Fuck no. It better be a goddamn forest fire.
Right. And then they have failed at their job.
I'd rather take that to fucking aliens.
Right. So at first, you know, they kind of wrote it off like we were just talking about. They wrote it off, thought it might have been the moon coming through the trees or what have you, but they figured out pretty quickly that it wasn't the moon. They ran through what it could be. Lights from a car, campfire, just anything, and none of it really fit the bill for them. They described it as lights through a lampshade. Like that would be, you know, the light shining through the trees and whatnot. And it kind of paints a little bit of an eerie picture because you just... Like when you tie it with a UFO and then you picture it, the light coming through the trees, you can picture it in your head.
Like all the recreations you see on like Unsolved Mysteries and shit, it's pretty spot on.
Right. And I don't know, it just leaves that eerie feeling with you. But Travis, when they noticed it, you know, Travis was like, hey, speed up. Let's get to this clearing up here so we can see.
No, Travis.
What is up here?
This is not going to end well for you. I've seen the fucking movie.
When they reached the clearing, all of them were pretty fucking taken back by what was there. Sitting about 15 to 20 feet off the ground, there was an object, unlike anything any of them have ever seen. Travis opened the door and went running at the object. Travis said the closer he got to the object, the more he could hear a sound. It was like a a humming noise almost, and you hear it described in other cases when being around UFOs. And he said the sound was like floating on the edge of human hearing, like it was in them octaves and stuff that we're not fully capable of hearing. And as it progressed in these seconds, you had reports from Travis and guys in the truck that they were saying that they could actually feel the sound. So it's vibrating the truck and just everything around them.
Dude, why in the fuck did he jump out and run toward it?
That's a good question. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, me
either.
There's
no fucking way. I would have said,
I would have froze or ran away.
Drive now.
Because I'm wondering if like it was just his curiosity that drove him to run after it. Like, oh, there's some weird shit. Let's go after it. Or if it was something like out of his control.
Well, he said at first, like when he got out, he started going towards it. He said the closer he got to it, the more afraid he started to get. But
oh, fuck yeah, because it's a UFO.
But at the same time, being a typical guy, and he was pretty young when this happened, and he's with a bunch of other hard asses. He said that the closer I got, the more scared I got. But I also
already committed.
Yeah, I didn't want to look like a pansy in front of the rest of the guys, so I just kept going.
It probably was that. You know, yeah, you're with a bunch of your crew that you hang out with all the time, and you're always got this camaraderie going on. He probably bolted out there to look like it's a dick swinging contest.
Right, exactly.
Took right off.
Exactly.
Then he gets out there and he's like,
oh shit. Damn. What did I do?
Especially when everybody else stayed in the fucking truck.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nah, dog, not today.
So, you know, at this point, Travis is pretty much right next to the UFO. When he went to stand and go back to the truck is when he became the closest to the object. And in that instant, the woods lit up with what they described as a bluish-green color. When the men looked over, they said Travis was a few feet off the ground, and it looked like he didn't have a bone in his body. And because of that, they all assumed that Travis was dead. I have no idea why you would have made that assumption, other than the fact that I picture it in, you know, a typical UFO drawing that people have or whatever. You just basically see a limp body being pulled into the light. Like, that's the image that's in my head. But the fact that they just assume, like, Travis is dead. Let's go. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, man. Like, if the movie that we were referring to is called Fire in the Sky, and it is single-handedly the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Pretty fucking scary.
Probably because I watched it when I was young, and I was told not to, but I hid in the living room and watched it when my mom watched it anyway.
Hell yeah.
So, ever since then, fucking terrifying. But the scene of him getting abducted, it is just like this huge, it almost looks like a laser beam that has come down and hit him, and it's like it's picking him up from his chest. Like, his chest is the most arced point of his body, and his hands or his arms and his legs are just completely limp. So I could see, especially in the heat of the moment where there's a fucking UFO shooting a laser at your friend and it's picking him up and he's just fucking lifeless, see how you could think he was dead.
Yeah.
Especially if you're scared as shit because there's a goddamn UFO right outside of your truck.
But with that side, I'll make a side note right now. My next episode, there's a gentleman in my next episode that he knows how to get out of this situation.
I already know.
Yeah, he knows how to get out of this situation. So if you guys want to know how to not be abducted by UFOs, tune into my next episode.
He does not give a fuck.
And you're going to figure out how to get out of it. I'm just going to leave it with that.
He does not give a shit.
No. So back to our current story. You know, they look over, they assume Travis is dead, so they took off. They just floored it, they got out of there, and now as they're going down the mountain, they're debating, you know, like, fuck, dude, like, we shouldn't have left him there. We need to go back and get him. And then there's the other side.
No loyalty, bro, no loyalty.
The other side is like, no, we need to find help. We need to get help because we don't know what the fuck we're dealing with. So the foreman, and I believe he was the one driving, so he's the guy in charge. He was like, no, fuck this. I'm going back to get Travis. We shouldn't have left him in the first place. If you guys don't want to go with me, I completely understand. But I'm going back. And so at that point, everybody's like, all right, fuck it. Let's go back.
Oh, could you imagine having to drive back up that fucking
mountain? Oh, dude, it'd be so ominous and scary. So at this point, they turn around. The men go back to try to help. They went to the site where they last seen Travis, and they all walked around, looked everywhere, and could not find a trace of Travis at all. He was gone. He disappeared. Now. So after this, the men then decided, well, now we need to go get help. We need to get people to come help us. So they went to the sheriff's office and just flat out blatantly told him the story. They told him exactly what happened. And as you can imagine, it didn't go according to their plan.
No, they're like, these dudes killed their buddy.
Yes, that's 100%. Exactly what happened. You know, and then that kind of circulated through the town, and everybody just started, like you said, they just assumed that these men killed Travis. They were up there getting fucked up on drugs.
They could not come up with a better
scenario. Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly.
They're like, they just want us to believe that this dude got abducted by aliens.
Yep.
Right.
So after this initial story dropped, they told the sheriff. It just kind of took off like a wildfire. And at first, everyone came out of the woodwork to hear and report about the UFO. So you had people, news reporters coming in, et cetera, et cetera. The sheriff actually stated that he was getting calls from all around the world. He was getting calls from Japan, Russia, Britain, Canada, literally everywhere asking about this UFO. And he would just... He just tell him the truth. He's like, listen, we're looking into it. I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
We're looking into it.
Yeah.
We're checking it out. Just chill.
But after the initial like excitement of this died off, which didn't take very long, that's when people started just assuming that these men killed Travis. The men ended up taking a lie detector test. And ironically enough, I know that they're kind of wish-washy, but all the men passed the test. They all passed it. They weren't, and you know, the guys were stating, you know, we weren't under arrest, but at the same time, we weren't being allowed to leave.
Yeah, the difference in being a suspect or a person of interest.
Right. Now, back to Travis. Travis was actually missing for a grand total of about 5 days. And when he came back, He just woke up in the middle of a road, and he said that he remembered the road. So, and he knew right down the road was a phone booth. So he started walking. He got down to the phone booth, and he called for help. Travis only thought he was missing for a few hours, and I believe it was his brother was like, "Dude, feel your face." And when Travis did, you can't fucking really gauge this, but he had the beard growth of 5 days. So he had his stubble coming in, and he was like, what the fuck? And that's when it all sunk in for him, where it really hit, like, what the hell happened to me? Now, Travis, he didn't remember almost any of the experience at the time.
Which is probably good for him.
Right. He only remembered a few hours of the 5 days missing. As you can imagine, when people found out he was back, everyone wanted to interview him and get a statement in the whole nine. They just wanted to be a part of this guy's life, which is probably the last thing that you want. Imagine the reality of that sinking in. Like, okay, I saw something in there. I went to it. Next thing I know, I'm waking up in the middle of the fucking road, and my brother's telling me that I've been gone for 5 days.
So nuts.
Wrap your brain around that at the same time you have everybody and their mom trying to stick a microphone and a camera in your face.
Yeah, and I'm sure the police are drilling him because they're under the mindset that his crew did something to him, but apparently they didn't get the job done because he's back now.
Right.
So now they're probably just pumping all these questions out.
Well, that plays in a little bit later. So when Travis got back and everything was settled roughly, he was supposed to take a polygraph test, but he ended up skipping it. Which, like I said, right out of the gate, I don't really blame him because he's got a lot to deal with. But then a local UFO group got a hold of Travis and convinced him to do a memory regression.
Fuck that.
That's what I'm saying. Steve's told me to do that countless times. I'm
trying to get him.
The exact same answer. Fuck that.
But if anybody out there does want to do one,
hit us up
and have us record it.
Hit us up
for the podcast. We will be on board for that.
Hell yeah. It'll be creepy as fuck.
And I'm not trying to remember any UFO abductions, because if my brain blocked it out, there's probably a reason.
All right. So Travis agreed to the regression and he's like, all right, let's do this. So he went in there and this is kind of what took place. When he woke from the initial abduction, he was facing a bright light, like kind of like being in the hospital or in like the dentist chair when they got that bright light in your face. He said that he was in a lot of pain and he couldn't move. He also couldn't focus his eyes very either, which would probably be due to the bright light being in his face, you know, waking up. But he eventually
taken to a different galaxy.
Yeah, precisely. But when he kind of got his shit about him, he looked past the light he looked past what was laying on top of him and he noticed two men leaning over him. He said that these guys had underdeveloped features and no hair. And whatever Travis seen in these people must have scared the shit out of him, because he ended up trying to lash out at them, and he reached over and he grabbed what he thought was a glass tube, like a test tube.
Hell yeah, he's going to fight these motherfuckers.
Yeah, so he just went like straight up bar mode. He tried breaking the test tube over something to have something sharp to stab him with. So, you know, this, I guess at this point, it spooked the two men over top of him, because they ended up leaving the room. Now, the strange thing is,
he
like,
said, hell with this, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Right, because he said like the men didn't have much reaction either. They just kind of, they're like, okay, this guy's on one. We're going to go ahead and bounce out for a minute.
We got a lively one.
Right. So the men exited the door, or exited the room, and they went to the left. Now, Travis got up from laying down, and Travis is like, all right. Or no, I have it the other way around. They went to the right out of the room. Travis gets up and he's like, well, they went to the right, I'm going fucking left. Fuck these guys.
True that.
So
good call, Travis.
He bounced out to the left. And he said as he's walking down that this corridor was really narrow and it was very dimly lit. And then Travis stumbled on to another room and I mean, it's kind of a fucked up description. He says that it was odd. He said that once he entered the room, he could see the stars even through the wall that he just passed through. So I guess it's almost like when you walk into this room, it's kind of like being in a cockpit of sorts, except like I picture the glass in the front. As you walk in, you see all the stars, like, oh, okay, that's cool. But then you turn around and it's everything is gone. You're just like fully exposed into the universe. And at the same time, to justify the cockpit theory was that this room had a chair and some type of controls in front of the chair.
That's weird. I never heard that.
Yeah. So at this point, Travis is kind of looking around in amazement and he hears somebody walk up behind him.
Oh, please let him still have the broke beer bottle stabber.
Well, here's where it gets kind of fucked up in my opinion, because when he turned around, he saw a man, but he said the man looked like a normal man, like you and me.
Like a human.
So is this kind of like a memory regret? Like, did it use a image that's familiar to us, like we've talked about before?
Defense mechanism.
Right, because he saw him the first time and he freaked out. Well, this time they're like, well, fuck it, let's just look like him, blah, blah, blah. Or, and we've also heard the stories about the
Nordics.
The Nordics.
Yeah. Which, so, that's kind of what I thought. Like, once they had the, I'm assuming it's like grays, so to speak, and he reacted so violently to them, they're like, all right, we're going to try a different approach.
Right.
Send in the big guns, send him in to see if he has a different reaction.
So he said this guy that walked in, you know, looked like us, but he had a helmet on. So, I mean, it's kind of weird because he went from stabby stabby to now I'm going to ask this guy a bunch of fucking questions. So their tactic worked. It made Travis a little bit more compatible and compliable. So Travis just began to bombard this guy with questions. You know, what the fuck's going on? Where am I at? Blah, blah, blah. The man didn't have much of a reaction. He didn't answer any of the questions. He just grabbed Travis by the arm and began to lead him. They went into another room.
Should have started stabbing, dog.
Yeah. They went into another room that looked normal. And I guess there was more people in this room, and they all looked like people. But these people didn't have helmets on. So once again, Travis asked them questions because he assumed that the first guy probably didn't answer because he had a helmet on and he couldn't hear him. Well, in this case, he asked some questions and they don't answer any of his questions at all. So he's just standing around like a pissed off person in Walmart. Like, all right, nobody's fucking helping me. What the fuck's going on? And the next thing he knows, they put an oxygen type mask over Travis's nose and mouth. And he looked up at the ceiling to see a flooding bright light. And that was the last thing that he remembers.
I'm guessing that probably wasn't oxygen.
Nope, probably not.
Does this mask smell like chloroform to you?
Now, the next thing Travis ended up remembering was, like I said earlier, he wakes up on the pavement and he looks up and sees the bottom of the flying saucer. And just like that, it shot straight up without a sound and incredibly fast. Travis, like I said, recognized the road, ended up running down to the phone booth and called for help. While this was going on, his regression, there were a few people in the room to witness this. Furthermore, the man doing the regression said that the description Travis gave was just like another case he did where the people gave the exact same description of the beings that were abducting them. And the crazy thing about this was that that case that he was talking about never went to the public. That was, I'm assuming what happened is somebody wanted to be regressed.
Oh, that's crazy.
Because missing time happened or whatever. And there's that confidentiality where they can't, you know, the patient, doctor, confidentiality crap. So that case was never made public, and it ended up striking this guy like, oh shit, well maybe we're on to something here.
I wonder if it was local to
I don't know. It didn't say if it was local or not.
Damn, that would be wild.
Wouldn't it?
If it was, they were just picking people up like, all right, we're going to do this guy this night, this guy this night. That's weird.
So that's kind of like the initial rundown of Travis's story. And I know the movie goes into a lot more cinematic details, which, like Steve stated, is fucking terrifying.
Some of the scenes, I'm going to interject here, some of the scenes that stood with me, I'm not going to, like, I know the movie's like 20 years old, so spoiler alert. Out the window, but the syrup scene where he's hiding under the table and knocks the bottle of syrup over and it drains on his head and he has a flashback, that fucked me up forever. And the scene where he wakes up and he's in the pod his pod, and it's got this like almost like a skin membrane on the outside of it, and he breaks through, and as he like pushes himself through, he falls into another one, and there's a dead and rotting human body in there. Like in my 9-year-old brain, like it's firing off on like every synapse. I'm like, this is where all the missing people in the world go.
Right.
They're all in these damn spaceships. You know, I was freaking the fuck out.
I didn't like the scene where
I still haven't watched it again.
I didn't like the scene where they put the cloth over him and sprayed the mist, and it sucked to him skin tight. And then they cut out a couple holes in the one with his eye. And you just see that fucking drill going right to his eye.
Yeah. Nope. So if you guys want to watch something that sucks, watch that movie, Fire in the Sky. Yep. Hands down, scariest UFO movie I've ever seen.
It's fucked
up. And I've watched them all because I'm a glutton for punishment. So.
Well, and here's where things turn a little bit. It is weird, man. It's fucking really weird. So, like I said, everybody ended up passing the polygraph tests. There are a lot of people that corroborated this who were just like, dude, these guys weren't lying. Like, there's no indication that these men were lying. Well, years after the actual event, they all ended up going back to, or there were people investigating. They went back to and investigated the clearing where it all happened. Ironically enough, they found that the trees were in this area were producing extreme growth rates, as so much as 36 times the normal growth rate of a tree. Not only that, but the trunks of the tree were growing towards where the craft was. And I say that, so imagine a normal tree trunk, right? It's circle all the way around. These trees were growing like eggs. So you had the circle on the backside, and then where the tip of the egg would be is pointing at to where the craft was being. That's weird. All the way around in a circle.
That's weird.
That's fucking weird.
I wonder why.
Well, they theorize that the reason why these trees were doing that was because of radiation. And they have proof of this because of Chernobyl. Because they've tested trees up in Chernobyl, and they found that trees that were exposed to radiation did, in fact, grow faster.
I'm more curious as to why they grew in the direction
of the UFO. I don't know. They never came and said anything about that.
I wonder if it was like intense gravitational pull.
Maybe.
I don't know.
It is fucking strange, though. It's like nature's pointing, like, here's your clues, asshole.
Yeah.
Right here. This is where it happened. We seen it.
That's weird. I'm going to go out there and look.
Let's do it. Fuck it. My sister lives out there. She probably let us stay there.
That'd be dope. Anybody want to buy some plane tickets to Arizona?
I can't fly.
Well, never mind. Anybody want to buy some gasoline to Arizona?
Some gas for sure. Okay, so later on, there was a man named Philip Klaus, and he began to look into this Travis Walton case. Now, Philip was an asshole.
I was going to say that. As soon as you said his name, I'm like, this dude's name sounds like the name of an asshole. But yeah. I was waiting to see how the story panned out. Like, maybe he's a good guy.
Nope, he's an asshole. Dude. This guy, so he's in this world, the conspiracy paranormal world. But this guy is the dude that comes in and tries to rip everybody's story apart. He's the one that wants to disprove 100% everybody's story.
No.
There's no room for truth. It's all just fake people making shit up.
Cool.
So he begins his investigation, but he began with the assumption that UFOs aren't real. He stated that Travis was probably hiding in a cabin in the woods, and when Travis's brother took Travis to the hospital, Travis ended up having a puncture wound on the backside of his elbow, which obviously meant Travis was hiding in the cabin injecting himself with LSD.
Oh.
That is the obvious answer.
Case closed.
Right, exactly. And I mean, when you think about it like that, it makes perfect sense.
Figured it out.
I mean,
case closed.
I haven't known a lot of junkies in my life, but I do know that when they shoot up, they stick needles in the back of their elbow.
Because that's definitely the easiest route to go.
Right? And with LSD at that, they're just like, fuck it, I'm just straight shoot up LSD. Let's get this party started.
I'm going to find my own aliens.
Philip also decided that because the company Travis is working for, they were actually behind in production. And that had come up, or that these guys came up with a story to get out of the contract. Because I guess if they had a reasonable enough story to get out of the contract, they would end up getting a 10% pay for it. So Philip decided that, of course, they came up with Travis got abducted to get out of the contract. Because that's what people do. We just make up stories about getting abducted by aliens.
I don't think that would pass with my company.
Kyle, you didn't really poke your eye, you know.
Hey, Kyle, why didn't you trim these trees? Well, let me tell you.
I got abducted by aliens. I got abducted by aliens, dude. It's fucking stupid. Now, here's...
Even if I did get abducted by aliens, I would still definitely get an attendance point for not showing up.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. It's fucking stupid. I'm not even going to get started down that road. But here's an ironic thing, is that Philip, he met up with one of the guys, and the guy's name was Steve Pierce. He offered to pay Steve $10,000 to say this was a hoax.
What a douche.
And in 1980, $10,000 was quite a bit of money.
Yeah, let me check some inflation numbers on that while you're going on here, dog.
Well, Steve was a homeboy and was like, get fucked, dog. I ain't taking your money.
Classic Steve.
Because Travis and us aren't lying. Which is, you know, and these guys didn't, it's, I mean, they were fucking loggers and stuff. They didn't have a lot of money back then. So $10,000 probably could have changed this guy's life. And he still said, fuck you. I'm not taking your money. We're not making this shit up. So respect, dude.
Yeah, $10,000 in 1980 is equivalent to almost $32,000 in today's.
That's quite a bit of cash,
according to inflation. Yeah, that.
And I think Steve was the youngest of the bunch.
So they're a little more loyal than I was. Like, sure, they left him there to get abducted and fight aliens by himself, but when it came to selling out, they're like, "Nah, dog, I got you."
Exactly. Now, here's a little bit of back note on this Mr. Philip Klass.
He sounds like a douche.
He is a douche, but he's a douche that is closely connected to the NSA and the CIA.
Ah, government douche.
Some people think that Philip's whole purpose was to investigate this Travis Walton case and completely make it disappear.
So did they think Philip was like an MIB, like a Men in Black?
No, they don't think that Philip actually worked for the NSA or the CIA, is that he worked alongside them. Because back then, in that time, I guess Philip had more of a background in journalism and reporting. And back in the 1980s, it wasn't nothing for these reporters and stuff to be in direct contact with the CIA and the NSA, whether it's telling them stories or being told.
Kind of like parallel, almost. Not necessarily contractor, but
in a way, in a nutshell, yeah. Like they work together.
And if it comes to the point to where they could be useful, possibly disinformation.
Exactly.
Agent.
And in this case in particular, because it's also noted that Philip didn't have much money. So how was he gonna pay Steve $10,000 if he didn't have money at all? So a lot of people
classic Philip
are making the connection that this was the CIA or NSA trying to kill this story to make it disappear.
That sounds par the course for
right
those letter agencies.
You know, and that's kind of the gist of the story. But, you know, nevertheless, with these men in this story, in a way, it halfway ruined some of their lives. A lot of them ended up moving away from the town that it happened in. These men who did stay, including Travis, were constantly ridiculed by everybody around them. And what's funny, no matter how much they've gone through, how bad it got, none of them to this day have changed their story, not even a little bit.
Yeah, that's
they all stand by what was said back then. Even the guys that moved the fuck away, they still stand by the story 100%. And, you know, looking into this, Travis doesn't think, because Travis is pretty big in the UFO world now. Like, he'll go around and do conferences and talk to people and what have you. But at this point in his life, I do believe that Travis thinks that what ended up happening that night was he got too close to the UFO and either ended up touching it or was just too close in general and it ended up killing him. And that the aliens ended up taking him to revive him and save his life.
That's deep.
That's his general conclusion on what actually took place. But nevertheless, bro, you were gone for 5 days. I don't think it takes 5 days to be resuscitated.
Unless they had to take you to fucking Alpha Centauri to do it.
That's a long trip. That's a good point. That's a good point.
I never thought about that aspect, like him actually being dead and them saving him.
That's what he is convinced happened. Now, is that something he's telling himself to make him sleep better at night? Maybe.
Yeah.
But either way,
I don't feel like I'm that substantial or important that the aliens would
go
out of their way to save me.
Oh, no.
They'd especially like, if I just bum rush their ship.
Yep.
and then tried to stab him and just threw a whole fit while I was on there.
Well, that'd be no different than like you stepping on an ant and then being like, oh shit,
let me fix this.
I've got to resuscitate this ant.
Especially if the ant charged me like a jerk.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't know what this crazy thing is going to do. Are you going to dent my car?
I know I've probably talked about it before on here, but I'm going to talk about it again. One of the scariest dreams I have is probably the reason I'll never do a memory regression, but
I thought you were going to say LSD.
No, I've never done LSD either, but I probably won't do that. Anyway, I had a dream that I'm assuming I was abducted because I woke up on what I thought was a UFO, right? So I'm in this room and it kind of looks like a medical examination room. There's just a bed and the walls are all white. And that's it. Well, I keep hearing this crying, like this little kid crying somewhere outside of the room. So I walk out and there's all these hallways that are leading different directions. And to the left, I can see down this corridor. I can see these grays like standing over this table, but they don't see me, right?
Yeah, so, you should have fought them.
Well, fuck that. I'm trying to hide from them.
No, sneak attack.
I didn't have any bottles to break and stab them.
You could have kicked them in the nuts.
But anyway, as I get out the door, I can hear the crying is okay. So the aliens are to the left, and I hear the crying is straight forward down this hallway. So I'm making my way down, and I come to another room that's identical to mine. But in this room is a little kid. He's a little boy, probably 3 or 4 years old. And he's in there. You can tell he's just terrified. So your natural instinct is going to be to help this kid.
For sure.
So I go in there and I like gather him up. I'm like, all right, we're going to get out of here. You just have to be quiet. You know, I'm going to get to stop crying. We're going to get you out of here. We're going to get you back to your family. And as I stand him up, I'm like brushing his shoulders off and I turn around to go out the door.
Oh,
and
shit.
There's one of them right looking in my face, just bam, right there. Those big almond black eyes.
Oh, fuck
just
that.
Looking right in my face. And then I wake up.
You should have threw a left fucking or a right hook.
Fuck no, I'm trying to wake up.
Fuck that thing up.
It was it's the scariest dream I've ever had.
That is terrifying.
As soon as I turn around, he's just boom, right there. I'm like, okay.
Fuck that.
You're on your own, kid. I'm out.
No, dude. I would have woke up and been paranoid as a motherfucker all night long.
And it was one of those dreams where you wake up and you're just covered in sweat and you can't breathe good. And it's just like,
those dreams suck.
It was fucking terrifying.
That sounds terrifying.
So that's why I'm never getting memory regression, because if that's real, then I'll probably just die.
Oh, dude, imagine if that. Let's go get you regressed. I got to know if it's real.
I'll do it if you do it.
No, fuck that. I don't want to know anything.
I already knew the answer before I asked.
Or here's what we'll do if we ever end up doing it. We won't listen to our own. You'll listen to mine, and I'll listen to yours.
Bro, you know I will tell you if you got abducted.
Don't fucking tell me that.
I have to.
And then I'm going to be like, that dream was real, dick.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, fuck, this sucks. Why do we do this?
I don't think I could do it. I wouldn't want to know. Like, I'm content.
No, I'm the same
way. If I have one dream every 36 years, like, that's fine. It sucked, but it's fine. I don't want confirmation that dumb shit has happened.
No, for sure. Absolutely not. I don't know that, especially at this point in my life right now, I definitely couldn't handle that added stress. There's no fucking way.
But like we said, if anybody is interested in it, we might be able to pull some strings and try to find somebody who could do a memory regression and get that set up. I don't know how it would go with all this COVID stuff going on, but
yeah, it might be a little difficult at this point.
If anybody feels like they're missing out on some stuff or had some missing time they want to look into and is in the place mentally to deal with what the possible answers are, we would definitely be interested in hooking that up.
Yeah. I mean, fuck. 6 years ago, I could probably mentally handle it. But with everything going on right now, I couldn't handle it. Especially if it was true. I'd just be fucking hyper paranoid.
I just don't want to know regardless.
Yeah, I don't blame you there. But I mean, those implications also bleed into other aspects of our life.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I don't want to know.
And I've already had to deal with my kid.
Exactly.
effing around with aliens. So
exactly. That's why I don't.
Just leave me in the dark.
Dude, there's some nights where I sit there and I do research and I freak myself out. And my initial gut fear isn't for myself. It's for my son. Because he sleeps in his own room. And so I just always have that like inkling in the back of my head. Like, that's why I've freaked out a couple times when I've woken up and he's not in his own bed. And that fucking scares the shit out of me. Because I'm like, where the fuck is my son? Because I swear to the holy fucking Lord, if you motherfuckers touch him, I'm going to rain hell on wherever the fuck you're at.
He's going to go Walton.
I will fucking go get Elon Musk and, hey, dude, hook me up with one of them fucking Teslas and shoot my ass out in outer space. I'm finding these motherfuckers. I'm bringing the chopstick and I'm going in style. I'm going to fucking get a Tesla. And you know Elon's going to be all down. He's going to be like, all right, let's do this.
He's probably the one that built the aliens UFO.
Yeah, he's exactly. Elon would probably come with me. He'd be like, I know those guys. That's I know those true. Cats.
I'll tell him to chill. Damn. But yeah, does that wrap it up?
Yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up.
Old Travis Walton abduction case.
Yeah, it's a good one. There's some good documentaries out there. And there's a lot, you know, that would be my initial recommendation is go check out some documentaries on it.
Yeah, if you want a cinematic experience and you want to freak yourself the hell out, watch Fire in the Sky or don't. I'm actually going to take that.
I say watch back. It.
Don't watch it because I haven't watched it since I snuck watch it when I was like 8 or 9 years old. Yeah. So
it's been a long time for me too.
I don't plan on watching it again. I'll see it like when I used to have DirecTV, I'd see it on like whatever movie station it is and I'd just scroll right on past that motherfucker.
Like it didn't even exist. Mm-mm. Just keep on going.
There are some other weird alien movies out there.
Fuck yeah, there's some good ones though.
Fourth kind was scary as fuck.
Yeah, Dark Skies was scary as fuck.
I've seen Dark Skies.
Extraterrestrial was scary.
Yeah.
Did you watch that one?
Probably.
Where the kids were in the cabin?
Yeah.
That
one
gets
kind of like found footage a little bit. Like at the end, the kids got the camera.
Yeah, kind of. But like the grays are big in this one. They're tall. And they ended up killing one, and that was a huge fucking mistake.
Yeah, is that the one where the kid gets like, he's got the handheld camera, and he gets sucked up at the end, and then the camera falls? Does that sound familiar?
I was telling you about that. That was Skyman or whatever.
No. This is not the same thing.
Oh.
Definitely not the same thing.
Yeah, because I watched that movie.
I saw this movie probably 5 to 10 years ago, and it was kind of like handheld footage. They're all stuck in this house.
I don't know. Like, I don't think this is the one I've seen because one of the kids was a dick. Like, he was a fucking asshole, and he was talking shit, and he paid for it bad because the aliens straight up abduct him. And next, it was like the Travis Walton scene that I was telling you about, except imagine, like, one of them wood drill bits. They're real thick at the end. They cut circles out.
Yeah.
And the kid was basically tied up, and that thing was going right up the poop chute.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it didn't end very good for him.
This one, it was a younger kid. He was probably 12 or 13, and he had a dog that was with him. And, like, all hell's breaking loose in their house. You could see the grays in their house and shit. So he sprints outside with the dog, and about that time, the light hits him, and you watch the camera getting pulled up and the dog's getting pulled
fuck
up
that.
And then the camera drops.
Fuck that.
And that's how it ends.
That gives me goosebumps.
I don't remember what the fuck it was.
You gotta check out Extraterrestrial. That's pretty decent. It was fucked up because it plays on like how we think they can use telepathy and shit. Because there was a cop that confronted him. He was trying to look for it in the barn and I think he ended up shooting it or something. And next thing you know, like he's fighting it. And the gun's just going right to his head.
Oh.
And he's just fighting it and fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And then he loses the fight.
Spoiler alert on all these movies.
Yeah, it's a good one. Check it out.
What are some other ones? The Phoenix Incident about the Phoenix Lights. That one was
I think I've seen that.
I think it's on Prime or some shit.
Don't watch Skyman. That one sucked.
There's a bunch of found footage ones. Like
That's how Skyman kind of was. Ones.
I don't know. Just get on Netflix and search up.
Peep that shit.
Weird shit. But speaking of weird shit, check us out on all our social medias. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Search up The Hollow Sky and come and hang out with us. I also forgot to shout out our new Patreon members at the beginning of the episode, so I apologize. Shout out to Kenneth and Dylan. Thank you so much for taking the time and funds to support the
Hell
show.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoy all your weird swag that's on your way.
I'm rich.
Kyle's rich, so there's that.
Not really.
Until next time, everybody, stay weird, stay safe, and if you see your homies get abducted by aliens, don't just turn tail. Stay loyal. Help them out. Actually, Kyle, if you watch me get abducted, just bounce, dog.
Oh, dude, I know how to figure it out, so.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. And turn, boy, make sure you listen to Kyle's next episode, because yeah. I already, once he started talking, I already know what it's about, so we got the answers.
Let's
do
this.
Have to check in later for him.
Finally have the answers.
Everybody have a dope-ass Thanksgiving, if it hasn't already happened yet, and just be safe.